and welcome to the Derm Health Co podcast. I'm Marnie, your host, and today I'm speaking with Hayley Curcio, head of Mechaversity from Mecha Brands. Hayley shares how her story into her experience with a master's in human resources, organizational development, and professional certificate in positive psychology has helped her bring Mechaversity to life, and how an organization of over 800 team members receives onboarding and training support. We also talk about how Mecha is bringing the digital learning landscape to its customers, and how you, as a small business owner in the beauty and aesthetics industry, can do the same. I started by asking Hayley what she thought was the biggest misconception about beauty education.
I think there's a few things. Probably the first is the assumption that if you tell something, that they are then educated. So, you know, we can get really excited about a new product or technique or tool and want to tell people about it, and then walk away and think that they've been educated. But I think really, you know, the closer and deeper you get into education, it's about building context. So people understanding, what is it about this product, tool, service that is important for me to know about, and then really building confidence, so getting them as immersed as possible in that tool, and then really getting them to, you know, put it into practice in a really safe environment and give them a chance to make mistakes and ask questions as they go. So I think that we told them so they've learned it is probably the biggest one for me. And probably the other is around, as we're watching beauty evolve, that misconception around, you know, beauty is perfection or beauty is one aesthetic. I think it's really about what is your customer or client looking to achieve, and what is, how will they self-express and feel like their best self? So really shifting the narrative of beauty education towards how do you achieve that with your client.
I resonate with that so much as a past therapist, because I don't know how many times I've told my mum the steps of her skincare regime, and years later, she just got it, I think, recently. But years later, it's like constantly, which order does that go in again?
Yeah.
I think it's about, as a therapist, we assume that people will just get what we're saying without the context of us being in the industry or us being educated for multiple years.
Yeah.
And that also the different learning styles, which I'm sure we'll get into, is that just telling someone isn't necessarily going to compute in their head. Someone might need to do it themselves, see it themselves, or have that repetition.
Yeah. And I think it's the why. Like, why am I putting this product on before this one? And why am I even using it? Like, really understanding how does that link back to the problem I'm trying to solve or what I'm trying to achieve is certainly easier to remember than just a, you know, a list of steps that I've got to recite in the morning or night.
Well, traditionally, I think most people don't like authority. So if you're just telling them what to do, it's like, no, I'm going to do the opposite of that.
So, yeah, and I think on that, customers are more informed than they've ever been through TikTok or, you know, all of the different platforms. Whether or not those sources are accurate is one thing, but there are so many ways that people can self-educate. And I think the role the beauty therapist can play or the beauty expert can play is in being that credible source that really partners with the customer to achieve their goals rather than telling them what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we're going to be talking about all about Mechaversity, which I'm really, really looking forward to digging deeper into. But I think for context, it would be great to just hear a little bit about your role and what you do at Mecha.
Yeah, sure. So my role's head of Mechaversity at Mecha. And I really look after the team who centralize education and learning for all of the different audiences at Mecha. So the biggest audience that we spend probably the most time developing and delivering education for is our retail team members. And within our retail team members, we've got specialists across skin, makeup, fragrance, and we've got a few evolving and emerging categories as well. And of course, leadership roles and leadership development is a huge component of, particularly as our stores get bigger and bigger. And then we've got our support centre. We've got about 800 people in our support centre. Our distribution centre, we've got, I think, about 400 there. And one that I'm really excited about is that we've, since last year, opened up the doors of Mechaversity to customers as well. So we've got ungated content that any customer of Mecha can now access, and that's something we're really looking to evolve as well. So the teams that sit within Mechaversity are really there to understand what the training need is for the different audiences they look after, and then come up with a really great learning solution or program to help achieve that.
Amazing. And I've had a look at the videos multiple times. Not only are they informative, but they're really beautifully shot as well, in the Mecha branding, of course.
We work very closely with our amazing marketing and brand teams. So yes. Yeah.
How important
we're very lucky.
So can you explain this core philosophy behind Mechaversity, and then how that then aligns with Mecha's overall vision and that long-term vision?
Yeah, so I think the education is part of Mecha's DNA back from when our founder, Joe Horgan, who still is very actively involved as the CEO of Mecha, opened the first store on Toorak Road and was literally doing everything. So she was putting the products on the shelves. She was talking to customers, and she really quickly recognized, one, that the difference in what she wanted to extend to customers at Mecha was educating. So it wasn't just about what are you looking for and here's how to find it. It was really about having a great conversation with the customer and consulting with them. And then thinking about, as this one store went to now hundreds of stores and the store sizes are getting bigger, how do we educate our team members to be able to pass that on? So it's really part of our DNA. And I think the reason that we're so passionate about it is that I think it's that empowerment. So it's taking knowledge and expertise that we might have, you know, achieved through our different careers, and it's putting it in the hands of the customer to make a really empowered, informed choice for them. And how that plays out in terms of where Mecha is headed and what our aspirations are is that we want to make everyone that walks through our doors look, feel, and be their best. So to me, education it can play a role in every one of those.
Yes, so important. And then linking them all together, because it's not necessarily about just putting makeup over skin. It's supporting the skin as well. So there's been obviously a huge evolution from that very first shop, and like that sense of control of being able to control the narrative of what is being said to hundreds of team members, and then all of the brand partners that come in and do videos with you as well. So share how this has evolved since its inception.
Yeah, it's evolved in many ways. So firstly, we're still really passionate and dedicated towards face-to-face training. We're face-to-face with our customers every day. So we're certainly not ever looking to move all of our education online, but being really intentional about when we do have everyone there face-to-face, how do we make sure that we're making the most of that time? So I mentioned earlier around telling. Telling doesn't need to be in a room. Telling can be a front-loaded digital video that people watch before they come along. When they're there in the room, it's the coaching, it's the conversation, it's building on existing knowledge that everyone naturally brings with them into the room. So I think that's probably one big shift around. We're not shifting away from face-to-face, but we want to be really smart about how we use those moments, because it's not as scalable. Once we shift into the digital learning offer, which is something we're also really invested in, and particularly for our customers, it really democratizes how we can offer information, credibility, authority to our customers. And I think there's also some beauty in being able to offer consistency in digital learning as well. So, yeah, certainly the face-to-face digital has been a journey, and, you know, everyone throughout, you know, 2020 shifted from towards a lot more digital content, and we're definitely swinging that back now and finding what the right balance is for us.
It is a balance, isn't it? Because I think we saw such a surge of online, and then people thought, wow, this is so efficient. I can create one video and share it to, you know, millions. But then it's not necessarily bringing that one-on-one approach, that personalized approach that customers really want and expect, and they want that personalized service. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah, I think one other thing, as we've started launching our digital learning to our customers, we are finding that it is a really safe space for people who are new to beauty to learn. So it might feel intimidating to, you know, walk into a store for the first time and kind of not know where to start. So we're finding this is a really nice way for people to kind of dip their toe in and understand a bit more and feel a bit more informed before they take that step as well, which is nice.
I'm really interested in that, because something that I speak to a lot of clients about with our powering company, Digital Health Co, is that when we're talking about an overall strategy with clients, we're discussing building that trust and credibility and doing that online. So that might be social media, that might be through website, that might be through videos or books or whatever that is. And there is often a bit of a hesitancy to do that because people feel like, oh, that's going to be a lot of time to do, or that's going to make me feel uncomfortable, or I don't like to being on camera and things like that. But what we do find is that when you have that, you're building that credibility and trust before someone's even walked in your door. So are you noticing that with Mecca as well, that maybe someone's a first-time customer, they're exploring through social media, and then they become a loyal customer before they've even purchased their own product?
I suspect so. I think with our education content, it's probably too early for us to make that connection between the person who's watched it and then come in. But I think there is definitely that that momentum and affiliation that occurs where you kind of, you've got so many people coming at you with different techniques, and, you know, it can go anywhere from particularly with makeup, like, you know, you can jump onto TikTok and you've got a 14-year-old who's done this amazing look, and you can pick up these different techniques. So there are so, their authority is so democratized in that space in particular. And skin is a really fascinating space to watch, where we've got different demographics that we haven't seen as engaged in skincare before, getting really interested in different product ranges. So so I think it's a really fascinating one to watch, and definitely by the time a customer makes it into a Mecca store, they've been already on quite a journey of exploration, both with our brand and with other sources and experts.
Yeah, amazing. It's so important to think of that whole customer journey. So let's get into kind of coming back to the industry that I'm in, which is the professional industry in a sense. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about how there's a crossover or some of the unique educational content programs that are offered at Mecaversity, and then what small business owners could learn from.
We've got so many different programs depending on the path that someone wants to take. So when you first join Mecca, it's about how do we immerse you in what we call a Mecca magic? How do we get you to feel, again, we're not going to tell you how to make customers feel. We're going to show you how it feels to have that hospitality and that spirit of generosity when you first join. So that's something we try to really bake into any of our education moments. So we've got our induction, and then we kind of break off into core categories. So someone might join us as a host and kind of play across all of the different areas. They also might progress into a specific category, so a skin specialist, a color specialist, or a fragrance specialist. And as I mentioned, we've got a few emerging categories and roles that that we're kind of testing and building out on top of that. So we've got those core programs where we would invest really heavily into that category expertise. And then from there, in the makeup space, we've got senior makeup specialists. So that's our community of, you know, that kind of top tier of artistry that we have ongoing workshops and investment in to really kind of help to scale that authority in that makeup space, given that it's our biggest category at Mecca. So yeah, there's quite a bit, I guess, in terms of core programs. And then with having over 200 brands, we also have really regular brand immersions, whether that's digital or we've got them coming over and visiting, and we pull together, you know, an amazing itinerary for that, whether it's the brand founder or the trainer or whatever it might be. We pull together a really amazing immersive education itinerary for them to make sure that team members can, you know, test, play, see demonstrations, get feedback from the experts and so on. So yeah, I probably, you know, one of the examples of how we do that is our summits. So for each of those categories that I mentioned, we have a full day virtual summit where we send the attendees a beautiful box that they can follow along with different products and tools. They can follow along the education journey throughout that day. And we have, you know, like Dr. Dennis Gross, some amazing names in the skincare biz come in and basically kind of set up a TV studio. I like to think it's like, you know, the Drew Barrymore show, but it's tailored to you and your role. So we have, you know, some amazing skincare experts from all over the world fly in and interview them, do masterclasses with them and so on. And yeah, it's a really nice chance to kind of progress your development and hear direct from the brands.
Amazing. So this is for consumers, or this is for team, or both?
So this is all for team. Yeah. In terms of consumers, so we try to keep the team training really kind of role focused and really in, as I mentioned earlier, that relevance and context, you know, what do you need to do and how can we empower you to do that? And then for our customers, predominantly our offer is digital at the moment. However, we do also offer what we call beauty labs in stores, so you can go into many of our stores and there's a little education kind of station set up where you can come along and complete like a 15-minute mini masterclass in, you know, maybe introducing a skincare routine or introducing actives, and you can have one of those skin specialists or sometimes one of the brands take you through that that journey in store. We're also you know, offering things like a one-on-one lesson, so if someone, you know, has a really clear learning objective or they don't know where to start, we offer one-on-one lessons as well.
Amazing. So bringing that down onto like a granular level, I'm thinking of beauty business owners. I'm thinking someone that, okay, this might not be relevant to someone that they're a solo operator and they intend to always be a solo operator. But for someone that has a team, all of those things can be relevant. Having an induction, talking about your mission values, talking about the tone of voice when you're discussing with clients, and breaking these down into segmented videos so that when you're onboarding someone, they already get a real sense and can immerse in that brand so that they're showing up as that brand from day dot. But also that service training, sure, a beauty business might not have hundreds of brands, but they're going to have at least three, and then all of the different services. So breaking that down into key directives of what do you need to know? What are the outcomes? What are the adverse outcomes? How do we deal with challenges? Could be really, really valuable in a small business setting.
Oh yeah, definitely. And if you can start to share that with your customers, then you're scaling yourself. So it's almost the smaller your business, the more important it is to be able to scale yourself to your online community, I think.
Well, from a team perspective, like making sure that they're really trained, and then of course sharing like that expertise with clients, it's a two-pronged approach. I love systems and processes and workflows, so getting into that really gets me quite excited, as I'm sure it does you too, because here you are head of Mechaversity. So let's talk a little bit more about the balancing of product knowledge and then broader skill development, because it's one thing just to be able to list all the ingredients for maybe for someone working in one of the Mecca stores, listing all the ingredients to a customer. It's another thing to then balance that product knowledge that's not overwhelming or it's more usable for that end customer.
It's so important. And it's almost like, you know, the product is the most, you know, without the product, there is no Mecca. Without the brands, there is no Mecca. So it's so important. But I think from a training lens, we've got to get you in the right mindset and right, understand the philosophy, understand what is it that we're aiming for in terms of the experience that the customer wants to have. And that can come down right to when someone walks into the door, what kind of eye contact are you making with them? How are you making, you might be busy talking to another customer. That's very, very common. How do you make sure that that customer knows you've seen them and that you're excited they've joined today? So it can get really narrow right down into the nitty gritty. The other thing that we think about, so there's that kind of what mindset and experience are we aiming for? And you're really in our store, you're the curator of that. So it's a pretty important role that you're playing. The other thing that we really are passionate about is how do we develop the whole person? So often people are joining either, they might be finished, they have just finished high school and this is a really great uni job while they're studying. It might be a career role for them. We have really amazing tenure in a lot of our Mecca team members. So this is a real, you know, we see people grow, you know, into whether it's going deep into that category expertise or going deep into a leadership role or joining support center. There's so many different directions they take. So we take it, we take that responsibility of growing you as the whole person really seriously. So things like resilience, well-being, empathy, you know, communication skills and how to navigate tricky conversations, all of those things are really must-haves. And then comes in the, you know, whether it's the product or the service, once you've got those kind of core personal skills and you've got the connection to the role that you're playing in this, you know, big vision, then when you're talking about the product and the ingredients and the services, you've got that context that you can do that within. So it really is a balance, and we've got to be really careful not to overwhelm our team members and try to give it all to them at once. So something that we're thinking, always thinking about is what do you need, you know, if we're thinking about induction, what do you need on day one, really? And let's give you that and give you a chance to test it. What on day five is going to be important to you? And it might be really tempting to give it all to them on day one, but we want to kind of make it a safe kind of sequential process that you can build on and add those moments of wins and applying learning so that you're not feeling like you've got to do it all at once, which I think everyone's had that experience when they start a new role and kind of go, what have I done? You know, that kind of imposter syndrome. They think I'm someone I'm not. But
yes.
We really want to avoid that and make it a safe place to build that learning, scaffold that learning is the term I was trying to think of.
Yeah, and something that I just thought of with that imposter syndrome is I hear that so much in many, many industries. And when someone's feeling imposter syndrome, they think that it's them. Where let's maybe turn it back on to, well, where are you sitting at in terms of your, like, the business that you're working in, or maybe you're doing training program, and perhaps it's more about the responsibility of the person that is supporting you or training you. to realize that they're causing a sense of imposter syndrome in their team or their students.
Yeah, it's I'm a student of positive psychology, and it to me it comes down to that building psychological safety. So, you know, whether it's when I'm running a team meeting with the Mechaversity team, or establishing an education environment with a big group of people, to me, I think it's so important to create an environment where people feel safe to ask questions. They feel like they're in the right room. They feel seen. They feel safe to ask a question or share a view that might be different from others in the room. And without that, I really don't think you can have a full learning capacity. So, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, everyone here is an expert except for me, or everyone here gets it except for me, or this teacher's so good, I'll never be like them. Where's the access to the part of your brain that's going to be absorbing and applying and testing and all of that sort of thing? So I just think we've been talking about that in the team lately quite a bit. How do we consider that as part of our responsibility as learning professionals?
Yeah, so interesting how all this psychology comes into it. So we could say that Mecca is a very inspiring and motivational brand. How does this role go into the curriculum? Like, how do you embed this into the curriculum?
I think it's that Mecca magic that I mentioned. So everything that we, whether it's education for our brands or a particular role, or maybe it's a change that we're introducing and we, you know, we're using a new system or whatever it might be, we're always thinking about, one, our team are the absolute, you know, the moat that protects Mecca. So how do we really make sure they know how important they are, whatever this change is, and feel really respected? And then how do we do it in that Mecca magical way? So it's got to be on brand. You know, our team members are beauty obsessed, so and product obsessed. And so how do we tie that in? It's something that is kind of intrinsic, because education and Mecca have kind of been, you know, it's been that DNA link from the beginning. But I think probably the other thing is that for us to keep it really inspirational and keep it really in line with the brand, it's a cross-functional thing. So we can't just kind of have our blinkers on and say, we're in the education team, we're doing the education. We've got to be connected with all of the other functions at Mecca that make that magic happen.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Like, I guess it's from the software that you're using, to the music that might be within the video, to what it looks like in the background, to the tone of voice, to if someone's just reading off a slideshow.
And for every brand, there's a different tone and there's a different style and a different kind of philosophy that they bring. So whenever we head into that partnering with a brand to bring to educate on that, it's got to be like a Mecca loves insert brand here, and how do we bring those two together and make sure that we're bringing our Mecca beauty obsessed amazing team members towards this incredible brand and product, and helping them understand what's unique about that brand. So it's quite a cool creative process that we go through.
And creating that consistency. So how do you do that if there's, say, a series of training that's going to be with a specific brand, or maybe it's just a Mecca new service or offering? Is it like there is essentially maybe like a brand guideline that is, this is the tone that we're following for this series, this is the setup, these are the types of words that we do use or we don't use? Is it almost like each series has its own brand guidelines? Like, what does that look like?
I think that's the intention, depending on how much space and capacity we have. Some might be turned around a lot faster than we have time to do that. But we certainly have a tone of voice and an intention for Mechaversity across the board that we want to instill into everything we do. So, for example, we want Mechaversity to be aspirational but not elite. So we want it to feel really inclusive. And so that's something, if we know that that's our philosophy across the board, then we can look at and go, oh, maybe we change that word in that script just to, you know, that feels a little bit like separating us from the audience. So let's, you know, let's tweak that. So we definitely have that kind of tone of voice and intention across Mechaversity. We've also got some design principles that help us make decisions. So, for example, whenever possible, it should be scalable, or whenever appropriate. Some things shouldn't be scalable because they're these magical moments that only we can do, and we want, and it's in person, and it's, you know, so we've got these things that help us make decisions, but they're not a rule book, because we've got to also apply our creativity to say what's the best answer for this particular need as well.
Yeah, so such a creative process. So some lessons that you have had from running Mechaversity that we could potentially apply to small business training development?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about that telling doesn't mean someone's capable. That's one I definitely think is important. You might have heard of the 70-20-10 model. It's not particularly academically proven, but it doesn't mean it's not a healthy rule of thumb when you're thinking about how you educate your team. So if you think of all of the kind of formal education we've talked about, classroom, listening to this podcast, watching a video lesson, that's about 10% of how we learn. 20% is what we call social learning. So that might be, you know, debriefing on the course, going back, talking to your one of your peers or your manager about what you learned and what you think you'd like to work on, getting feedback, getting a mentor, that kind of thing. So that's about 20%. And then the remaining 70% is actually doing it. So it's just a really helpful kind of guide to go, okay, I sat everyone down, I told them all the information and they're still not doing it. Well, where's the 20%? What am I doing to really coach and embed that? And where's the 70% where they get a chance to put it into practice pretty soon after they've learned it, ideally, because there's also, you know, the forgetting curve where if you're not applying it, your brain considers it irrelevant and recycles it. So I think that's probably a really helpful one. In terms of building, managing a big team, play to people's strengths, hire people for their strengths, kind of go where the energy is. I think trying to pull someone into doing something that doesn't come naturally to them or isn't their passion, it's a harder hill to climb. So just, you know, finding people that really are aligned to your vision and what you want to create, and then untapping their strengths. And I know we've talked in the past about the massive difference that having a project manager that loves to project manage can have on your team and your business and your role. So I think playing to strengths and hiring people that are really great at the things that you need to do. And we talked a bit about the psychological safety, that I'm really, really passionate about that, and there's plenty of research to back that one up. So making sure if your team don't feel safe to ask questions and included and part of whatever it is you're trying to achieve, your customers won't. So I think that's just a really important one to prioritize. And then just not assuming that people know what education is. So helping them understand whether it's the 70-20-10 model or however it kind of clicks for you, I think just considering it an ongoing piece, we're learning every day, every moment, and helping to create that learning culture where we're always building and iterating.
So interesting. I'd like to unpack those a little bit more. I've just got some questions about the 70-20-10 model. Wow. Like, mind-blowing to think that the way that most business owners or educators operate is, okay, this is it, this is the thing, and this is how we do it, and I'm showing you, okay, go for it. But there's not that, that's not that, like, gentle safety of like checking in with them. So how can business owners do this? Like, have you got any leading questions that you use, or it does it have to be a formal sense in that you do the formal training and then you sit down at a certain time period afterwards and then you ask a series of questions? How do you actually put that in place?
I think if I was setting up a small business, or, you know, even thinking about when I stepped into the Mechaversity team a year and a half ago, I think the first thing is defining what good looks like. So really, and getting deeply aligned with your team member on what good looks like. So there's no, it avoids so many difficult conversations down the track where, you know, your expectations are different, and where can you go from there? So I think being really clear, and whether that's actually mapping out, these are the key capabilities I need in my business, and here's how we're going to build them, and here's how your role will contribute to each of these. But it can be as simple as, what you really, really confident delivering these three services, and that's it, you know. So I think kind of depending on where your team member is and your business is at, kind of going really strategic or really granular is, you know, you'd kind of use your gauge on that. But then in terms of how you would map it out, it can be as simple as saying, I want you to be, you know, this is the service I want you to really nail in, you know, the next 3 months. In terms of the formal learning, I want you to go to this course, read this book, listen to this podcast, whatever it might be that's an existing asset, or we're going to run an education night on Thursday and everyone's going to come along. And then I think mapping out over that next 3 months, each week, let's regroup on what, and you can do that as a group or one-on-one. Let's regroup on what's working, what did you think would be easy and then it wasn't, or what customer questions have you been asked that you didn't see coming? And that's where the social learning comes in. Every customer, every team member will have a different question their customers ask them. If they can pull that together and have that collective conversation and learning, that's where they're making all of those neural pathways and connections and really solidifying that learning. And so the 70 and the 10 kind of can happen in parallel, and the 70 and the 20, so the on the job learning and that social, that can happen on the job. I might have a quick phone call with a customer, hang up, and then Marnie, you say, hey, I heard that chat, let's debrief, how'd you go, what was difficult, so it can really all kind of happen holistically. But I think the main thing is that 10% isn't what creates a capable, empowered, confident team member.
Yeah, really interesting. And I'm thinking about what that actually looks like. So for a business owner, I really like the idea, like you kind of mentioned a few formal learning things of a podcast or whatever. And often businesses will have learning material from a specific brand if it's for a product or a service or something. But my thoughts are, don't rely just on that. There are so many podcasts, there's YouTube videos, there's other industry people that might discuss a similar thing. It might not be that specific brand, but it could be that ingredient, it could be that service offering, and collating this into like a little educational, you know, like booklet, or not booklet, but like a digital asset could be really helpful, that then
even
people
like if you use Trello or Monday or Asana, that can be the learning plan. You can have a 70, a 20, and a 10 and have all of the things and kind of tick them off. And then you get that dopamine hit if I've done that one.
Yes, gamification as well. Totally. Yeah. Great ideas. So also I wanted to unpack about people's strengths. So that has been a big one in my business, is that whenever I'm looking at putting someone in a different role, I'm asking, where do they want to go, which is so important. And in the beauty aesthetics industry, it's of course important that people have these hard skills, like, can you perform that? Do you have the qualifications? But soft skills is something that isn't really taught. So share a little bit more about that soft skill versus hard skill, how you do that at Mecca, and what you lead with when you're training or when you're bringing on a new team member.
So Soft skill is it's one of those terms that soft skill makes it sound easy, but often it's a lot more tricky than a technical skill. But the way that we'd build soft skill, we've kind of tied into everything that we do. So it's kind of going back to what's that intention? What outcome are we looking for? We're not looking for a customer to buy a product and feel informed. That's great. But actually, we want them to come in and feel like they've had an incredible experience. They've had a connection with someone who genuinely cares about them. They've learned something about how to take care of themselves or feel better or achieve whatever the goal is they came in with. And they feel really empowered when they go home to put that into practice. So I think tying the soft skills to the journey that you're looking to create can be really helpful, and embedding that in. So you might you might have a product session, which is we're launching this new, this brand is launching this new product. It's got this new ingredient. Let's really get into the nitty gritty on the science of this and why it works. But then going back to that 20% and 70%, now let's have a conversation with it. You know, even if it's everyone hates role plays, but they're really helpful. Let's have a role play conversation where I come in and with the problem that this product solves and have a go at explaining it. Because why not have a go at explaining it to your colleague rather than your customer for the first time? And then you can debrief while you've got the expert there on where you kind of got stuck or whatever it might be. But we'd be layering in those soft skills to kind of say, okay, how are you approaching this with empathy? How are you when the customer approaches you, how are you showing them an open, warm body language? So we really try to layer it in. And then once we start to look at people progressing into leadership or management, we would, carve out more dedicated management and leadership programs to make sure that we're really investing in that pipeline of future leaders.
So put that embarrassment aside for role playing, because would you prefer to be embarrassed in front of your team member or the expert, or just completely fumble in front of a client and then kick yourself for the next 3 months? Like,
exactly right.
Yeah.
Lucky us that we can embarrass ourselves in front of each other. Let's do it.
So, okay, you've got these great training programs. There's a lot of time investment into them. How do you measure the success and the impact?
This is something that differs based on the intervention. So sometimes we can, one of our, I mentioned we've got some design principles like scalable, magical, inclusive. One of them is impactful. So we, at the beginning of any project, large or small, one of the questions is what impact are we looking to achieve here? But it's probably our least operationalized. So thinking about the systems and processes that embed that, that's something we're really looking to evolve this year. So for example, launching a new system, a new point of sale into our stores, a success measure for that might be people feel confident, confident using it, and we can get that data. But the larger the program, the more we kind of think about the customer experience. So what NPS data do we have? Are customers telling us that they feel welcome when they come into store, that they feel that the team member was knowledgeable, they feel their problem was solved? And we can also look at our actual team member engagement data too. So if we're, if we're doing leadership training, we can look at what impact is that having on the overall employee cohort of having great leaders. So there's so much we can do in that space, and it's definitely one that I want to spend more time on this year.
And so in terms of, say, the example that you use for a customer, is that as simple as sending a automated questionnaire after they've purchased something saying, how was your visit today?
Yeah. So we have an NPS survey that goes out after a customer's visited us, and the data that we get from that is so valuable, because we can monitor, all of the different changes in the experience. We also have commentary shared as well. So every Monday at Support Centre, we hear a constructive example from customers that Joe, our founder, will read out to all 800 of us.
Wow.
And then she'll read a celebratory comment as well. So every week, doesn't matter what your role is, we're thinking about how can we better the customer experience and what impact are we having. So
I love that. It's like it's so embedded into the culture that it's just an every Monday the whole of Mecca is hearing something constructive that we can do better and something to congratulate. So it's not like, oh, every year let's have a look at our reviews and do we need to change what we're doing. There's an opportunity to make changes every week.
Yeah. Even there are, you know, different sayings that you'll hear pop up at Mecca. And when we moved to our new office, our room names, we named them after the saying. So one of them is feedback is a gift. So we've literally got it written on the wall that we really welcome it, and it's an insight and it's a data point that can help us get better. So why would we not embrace it?
Yeah. I love that. How do you see, and maybe Mecca see, the future of retail and beauty, and especially the education and how this is going to evolve? What do you think that the role that Meccaversity will play into this?
It's huge. So probably the next big opportunity that we've got to express that is in our new flagship store in Melbourne, which will, if anyone's familiar with the David Jones men's store on Bourke Street that shut down a little while ago, we are very busy chipping away at literally what will the future of beauty and education look like in the world. So there's a lot of work that we're doing there to think about what are the world-class services, products, new categories that maybe don't exist yet. So really thinking about how do we bring that to life for customers, and a critical thing will be whatever it is that we find, we've got to think about how do we make sure that a customer coming into the store feels really comfortable exploring that, and that we can qualify, you know, it's a really, if you've been into that store, it's a huge space. So we're going to need to help you not just understand the product, the ingredient, whatever it might be, but also the space and new things that you might have never heard of before. So the role of education is so huge in that, because we're educating, even if it's a little micro moment, if a customer comes in and says, hey, my friend said you do this, what even is that? And just having that quick conversation that doesn't overwhelm but helps the customer feel like, you know, they can decide whether that's for them. It's huge. We're also looking at how do we offer large scale education within that space, which is going to be really cool as well.
Very exciting. Wow. So this would be one of the biggest upcoming initiative, the Bourke Street. Yeah.
It's pretty massive cross-functional collaboration. The role education will play is thinking about how do we educate the many team members that we'll need to join us on that journey, and then how do we educate customers and use the space as a really inclusive, immersive space where you can come along and learn about how can you look, feel, be your best self, whatever that means to you. So it's going to be massive and amazing for our brands, a really cool way for them to evolve how they're positioning their brands to customers.
And when's that opening?
That is the question on everyone's lips.
This year. 2024 is the year that's happening.
2024 is the year.
Amazing. So just
late this year.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of moving parts. So good things take time.
Yeah, it'll be so worth it.
And just to really finish up our chat today, Hayley, what advice would you give to small business owners that may have listened to this and thought, oh, I've been thinking of doing more training for my team, or thinking of doing more training for my clients and becoming more digital? Do you have some advice for those that might want to either create or enhance their own training programs?
I think keep it real, keep it true to you and what is it that you're there to do. Don't wait for it to be perfect. Our programs have never been perfect. If we waited until they were perfect, then there would be nothing. So, and as soon as we think it's perfect, we put it out there, we get feedback and we want to iterate it again. So I think just having that learning mindset will mean that you can get amazing momentum in terms of building that learning culture and building that collective knowledge with your team and customers. I think thinking about where you want to position yourself as the expert and the authority, and learn, customers can learn from you. And then maybe you've got other partners that you bring in where you're learning and you want to share that with your customers. So I think just being really clear on that so that you don't overwhelm yourself with having to educate everyone on everything. And I think also, you know, we talked a bit about psychological safety and feeling safe and included and able to ask questions. Having fun with it is really important too. Like, I think the space we work in is such a positive, aspirational, cool thing to have landed in. So I think just remembering in the scheme of things that this can be really fun and it can make people feel amazing. So not losing that when you head into the education space.
Absolutely. And I don't know the statistics or the data on that, but fun and elevated mood actually helps with learning, right? And helps to retain information. So it's like a win-win.
Yeah, exactly. Fun rewards the brain and the brain likes it and then it hangs on to more. So
yes, why not? We love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being guest on the show today. It was really wonderful to hear how Mechaversity has just changed the space.
Thank you so much for having me. I could have talked for hours.
Well, that wraps up another episode. Thank you so much for joining us this week. It was wonderful to have you here again. We will be launching another podcast episode next week, so be sure to tune in. And although it's lovely to listen and learn from podcasts, and I know it's easy just to consume and learn and learn and learn, but at one point, the integration and adding what you have learned into your life is really important too. So if you've got some takeaways from this episode, I would love for you to share them with us and perhaps others on social media, because you never know, it might help their business or their professional and personal development grow as well. So make sure you tag any key takeaways from this episode at dermhealth.co and digitalhealth.co. I'll see you again next week. Bye.